and welcome to another edition of In House. I'm your host, Jeremy Peterson. Great show coming up today in something of a special edition, as we have an interview to get to with singer-songwriter Josh Ritter. Ritter, of course, the Idaho-born and bred singer-songwriter, played a couple of Idaho dates over the weekend. We caught up with him after his date in Stanley at the Redfish Lake Lodge. We'll get to that interview in just a bit as we talk to Ritter about his development as a singer-songwriter, about the new album, The Animal Years, and touring as well, among other things. Josh Ritter, In-house, coming up in just a bit. Among other things we have to get to besides that, new music from Bob Dylan. Modern Times comes out next week, the singer's first album in 5 years, legendary Bob Dylan, back with a blues-infused set. We'll get to music from that one, as well as New York City's Hem. Funnel Cloud is the upcoming release from Hem. We'll get to that one out in September. All that and Josh Ritter, it's coming up. Stay tuned. Also today, brand new music from singer-songwriter William Elliott Whitmore. He has a new album just out. And this from Tom Petty. His new album, of course, is Highway Companion, aptly titled, something of a road trip album, if you will. Tom Petty, this one, Turn This Car Around.
Thank you.
Back in house now. Coming up in just a bit, an interview with Josh Ritter. He has been touring in support of his latest release, The Animal Years, pretty much universally acclaimed out this spring. Played a couple of dates in Idaho over the weekend and set for a number of Irish dates in September as well. We'll get to an interview we did with him after Sunday's show at Redfish Lake Lodge near Stanley, Idaho. That's coming up. And also new Bob Dylan from Modern Times, the new release from him, First in 5 Years, is out next week. Speaking of Dylan, this is one of his tunes. It's done by Dave Alvin. Start off the first set, his version of Highway 61 Revisited.
Said Abraham, kill me a son. And Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, yeah, you better run. Abe said, well, you want this killing done? And God said, out on highway 61. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose, and the welfare department wouldn't give him no clothes. So he asked poor Howard, where can I go? And Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I gotta run. And old Howard just pointed with his gun and said, that way down Highway 61. The finger said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, and blue shoestrings, and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Man, you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. And he said, yeah, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Now the fifth daughter on the 12th night told the first father that things weren't right. My complexion, she says, is much too white. And he said, come here and step into the light. Yeah, you're right. Let me tell the second mother that this has been done. The second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. Gambler, he was very bored, trying to create the next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor, and he said, you know, I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yeah, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it out on Highway 61.
let it in anybody's way.
Tumbling, it's brand new music from Bob Dylan from Modern Times, the upcoming release out next week, as a matter of fact, and Dylan's first new release in 5 years, although certainly has kept busy in the meantime, touring as well as playing DJ on, I believe it's XM. Dylan has his own radio show, but Modern Times out next week from him. And Dave Alvin covering Bob Dylan, of course, Highway 61 Revisited, something of a different take on that tune from the Highway 61 Revisited compilation that came out last year. you're in-house. Of course, you can find more of us online. Inhouseradio.blogspot.com is where you can do that. You'll find playlists there, as well as MP3 downloads, podcasting photos, and more. Inhouseradio.blogspot.com. Josh Ritter played Stanley, Idaho, and Boise over the weekend. We caught up with him after his performance on Sunday. We get to that interview with Josh Ritter when we come back in-house. And as you may recall if you heard last Friday's show, Idaho-born and bred singer-songwriter Josh Ritter spent last weekend playing shows in Boise and Stanley, just his second and third performances ever in the state. I caught up with Ritter lakeside after his performance at Redfish Lake near Stanley. I began by asking him about the relatively late moment he decided he wanted to be a musician.
I had been playing violin for a while.
Okay.
And you know, I never realized that I didn't like it. I didn't realize because I didn't have anything to compare it to, and nobody else in my family played music, and I think everybody has this in high school where they're looking for something that they're good at, you know, and I hadn't really found that yet. I was looking, you know, we were talking about wrestling. I was a terrible wrestler, and I tried out for 4 years to be on the basketball team, and that didn't work out so well, and one day, you know, I lived way out of town, and my parents had a few records, but they didn't have, the record player had never been plugged in that I remembered. And one day I plugged in the record player and I put on this record just because it was the one that it looked cool. It was a picture of this guy and a guitar and he was smiling and it said Nashville Skyline.
Uh-huh.
And it was a Bob Dylan record. And I put it on because, you know, it looked cool, and because Johnny Cash was on it, and I'd remembered hearing that Johnny Cash said that Potlatch, Idaho was the meanest town he ever played. And so I put it on, and it was incredible. It was like a, you know, I wasn't old enough to go to any of the grunge shows, and, you know, I'd never really grown up around any, like, punk music or anything like that. I didn't know anybody that knew that stuff, and I put that record on, and that was like, to me, like, that was like listening to punk music, you know,
right,
it was
right.
Like, or Elvis or something. It was like the chance to see that, like, no matter what, you could just play, and it didn't have to be perfect, it just had to be real, you know,
right.
And it sounded like those guys had just been playing all night and just trying stuff out. And it was out of tune, and it was awesome. And the next day, I'd never played guitar, and the next day I went out and I bought a guitar, and I started teaching myself to play Girl from the North Country, which was the song they sang. And I was having trouble with it, and I started finding that it was easier for me to write songs than for me to learn them at that point. So I taught myself the D chord and the G chord, and I started writing songs from there. You know?
Like that?
Just, yeah, it was like really quick. I bought my guitar at Kmart, and it was instant. It was like, I felt like I understood it, or it felt like something that was approachable to me. Because
right.
Nobody could tell you, there's no team you have to be on, you know, you just do what you do, and you do your best, you know.
So up to then, I mean, had you, were you the kind of kid that wrote
creatively
before?
I wrote and I read a lot, and uh-huh. I was totally like, you know, just, you know, kind of I don't think I was introverted, but I just didn't feel like I had anything that I was like, I felt like there was a lot, like you do, you know, you just feel like there's a part of you that's not being addressed, you know?
Right.
And that was, I don't know, I think I would be a far different person if I hadn't listened to that record that day, for sure.
But yeah, you went out to Oberlin College and you were still, you were still planning on a career in the neuroscience.
Yeah.
You had a moment out there where you kind of decided and told your parents about it.
I was. My parents both teach at Washington State. They're both professors there in science, and I thought, like, you know, it's
the family biz.
Yeah, totally. And I figured, like, well, you know, musicians. The only musicians I'd ever really, you know, seen were pretty cartoonish. You know, there was like, or that I knew. You know, I love that Janet Jackson song "Secret Rendezvous." You know, I love that stuff. That's not like what you think about when you start playing songs. You know, and I love the Oak Ridge Boys and all this stuff. So when I started playing music, I figured, this is not a real career. This is just like something that I like to do, and I'll do it on the weekends, and I'll be like, you know, Buckaroo Banzai, and I'll do like science during the week, and I'll play songs on the weekend. And,
weekend warrior.
Yeah, totally. And then when I realized that I was not gonna be a scientist, I realized that like what I really loved to do was play music, you know.
Right.
And that if I didn't do that, I was wasting my time.
They took of you in your cowboy hat makes you look like you were one of the boys out on a Saturday night. Meanwhile, way outside of the dance hall, I'm a joke that you'd probably enjoy. On the outside of Memphis, all the buildings look big, and the white picket fences are there to charge around the lawn and hold their heads up high. When my headlights find the mouth, they'll be the first to put their hands in the air with my radio. All singing a country song, soft and low. So living on the edge of the city limit line, this is where the boundary finally ends. And I swear that we're the last living souls in a populated ghost town. All the billboards are our best friends. Oh, which way did our last chance go, and can we get at it? Go right now, 'cause it seems that with the malls and the mega church stadiums, we would get at it if we knew just how with a radio. All singing a country song, soft and low. On this boy, did it all by the book. He still kind of has his doubts. Yeah, you look pretty good in that junk wheel dress, but your smile is a wooden nickel's pride. And I know that it ain't worth much. It feels good to touch, and I think that I could dance if I try with your radio on. Oh, singing a country song, soft and low.
Speaking of today's gig, this is actually that's your last U.S. appearance for a little while.
Yeah,
you're heading over to Ireland in a bit for a series of dates over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're coming back and doing some opening slots for Jamie Collum. But you're big. You're big in Ireland, to paraphrase Tom Waits.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. It's been that way for a while. I mean, you know, you're getting a name here in the U.S., but you've been big over there for a while. What do you think explains?
Well, that's the first place I started playing, and that's like the only thing I can think of, you know, because I think the people aren't different anywhere. Like, it's just a matter of where they experience what you're doing, you know. And I got lucky because I started playing over there. I was invited over by a band called The Frames. I was playing open mics in Boston, and I got invited over by this band, and I started playing and actually playing shows. And you know, from there it kind of expanded to being some stuff in the States, and then I started playing in England and around Europe, and it just sort of happened that way, you know. Like, I think that it got big there first, and you know, it's just something that happens
for whatever reason.
yeah, who knows why.
You captured the zeitgeist at the time, maybe.
yeah, and I got started in a time when there was a lot of great stuff happening there, like, you know, like Damien Rice and David Gray had started, and, like, you know, there was a bunch of people that were just really starting to, like, to show that you could do that stuff, and right. I didn't know those guys from Adam, but sure. But I just, you know, it seemed like something where I could do it, you know.
More of our interview with Josh Ritter from the Redfish Lake Lodge in Stanley, Idaho, when we come back in house. As we rejoin the interview with Josh Ritter, conducted Sunday night after his performance in Stanley, Idaho, and I asked him about his decision to record with the producer Brian Deck, who had previously worked with the likes of Modest Mouse for his newest album, The Animal Years.
When I first started, I never really worked with a real producer before, like, you know, and when they said I could talk to a producer, I could start working with a producer, when I had the budget to do it, I didn't really know what to do, because I didn't know really what a producer did, you know?
Right.
I have my own, like, pretty, like, specific ideas about, like, what I want my music to sound like. And so I started to worry about, like, you know, fights and like, you know, getting my music taken away from me, you know?
Sure, sure.
And I also don't really like it, this idea of producers. Producers are such celebrities now that it's sort of like, it'd be kind of like if you wrote a novel and you were the author, but the editor got, like, you know, they got first billing.
First billing.
So that I was got offered a bunch of different producers that were, like, really big, and I, you know, I talked to a lot of those guys, and I just thought this is bull, you know. I don't need these guys, like. And I talked to Brian Deck, and they were all like, they all said, you know. You need to get this done and this done and this done and this thing, you know, you can do a lot, you know. And I always thought, like, when I talked to Brian Deck, he said, yeah, these are weird songs, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I liked that a lot more, because he's such a weirdo, you know. And I mean, he's just an interesting person who thinks about music in a strange way. He thinks, you know, like Iron and Wine is pop music, you know.
Right, right.
Or like Modest Mouse is pop music, but like, The Moon in Antarctica is the one of the strangest records, and so I just really like the fact that he goes into it like he's exploring something, like, I mean, he's like going on safari, you know, and whatever happens is going to be interesting no matter what, and it's a weird way to spend a lot of money, but it's like a lot of fun, you know, like yeah. It was a great time.
So in a way it was, it was almost kind of a deliberate move away from, you know, something a little more traditional to something a little maybe less traditional sound.
Yeah.
Kind of genre bending, maybe.
Yeah, well, it just bothers me. I think there's a lot of, I don't think it's enough to just write a song, you know. I think you should have, there should be more there, and there should be something interesting, because everybody's written a song about a relationship, you know, like that's fine and everything, but it's not just enough to have a good chorus, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, and it's like, you know, but there's always got to be something else there, and what I liked about him was that he made me feel like this is the beginning of something, and not like this is your shot at like, this is your shot. He didn't make me feel like this is your shot at like something,
being,
yeah,
right,
being
right.
big or something. It was like more of like this is where things could get really interesting, you know.
And they do. And
yeah.
They do. I mean, you know, you've got a 9-minute song. That's
yeah.
not immediately accessible to people
no.
looking for immediately accessible.
It's not going to get very much airplay. But
right. Then New Flame. I mean, talk a little bit about that if you would, and
yeah.
just how that came about. I mean, it's such a just a storm of words and thoughts and.
Well, it's I started going on these when I was on the road with Hello Starling. I started to feel like. I was, you know, I had no time to myself, and so I started running, and I started doing these runs, and the runs kind of got longer, and I started, when I run, I start to think about stuff, and some of the words come into my head, and I start to try and figure out what, you know, what was getting me, what was making me angry at the time, you know, with George Bush being elected for the second time, and wars that weren't making a lot of sense to me, you know, I didn't understand them, and mm-hmm. And I started to realize, and then, you know, as I was running, I was listening to a lot of people that were playing, and I started to be like, everybody seems to have an answer, and I don't, you know. Everybody seems to know exactly, whether you're Toby Keith or Steve Earle, exactly what's going on, you know. Like, they seem to know, and I think, like, sometimes that's what bothers me about that is not that they know, which is great. If they feel that conviction, that's phenomenal for them. But for me, I feel like most of the poetry got robbed out of the whole situation, you know, and I think that's important to have poetry in a time like this, because that's, for me, that's how I figure stuff out, and so I started thinking, like, okay, well, if they're singing about songs about total conviction, I want to sing, I want a record about confusion, and that's why I wrote, like, you know, Girl in the War and Thin Blue Flame, because they're about being so confused about the world that you kind of have to narrow it down to a single person or a single family and say, all this can happen, but you know, everything else can hang, you know. But I'm gonna throw in my lot with these people, you know, whether it's like the town of Moscow or whether it's like, you know, a single person who you know you can help, you know.
Right.
And that's what Thin Blue Flame is about. I definitely feel like that sometimes we get so concerned with going to heaven that we forget about the fact that there's a lot of heaven here on earth. And that's, I think that's so important to realize, you know?
And over hills and fields I flew. Wrapped up in a royal blue, I flew over Royal City last night. We're fighting the horns of a new moonlight. Caesar's ghost, I saw the wartime tides. The Prince of Denmark's father still and quiet. The whole world was looking to get drowned. Trees were a fifth, shaking themselves at the clouds. I looked over curtains, oh, it's then that I knew. Only a full house gonna make it through. I became a thin blue wire that held the world above the fire. And so it was I saw behind. Heaven's just a thin blue line. If God's up there, he's in a cold dark room. The heavenly hosts are just the cold dark moons. He bent down and made the world in 7 days.
And ever since he's been walking away, mixing with nitrogen and lonely holes, where neither seraphim or raindrops go. I see an old man wandering the halls alone, but only a full house gonna make a home. And I became a thin blue stream, the smoke between a sleep and dreams. And in that clear blue undertow, saw royal city far below, border soft with refugees, streets swimming with amputees. It's a Bible or a bullet they put over your heart. It's getting harder and harder to tell them apart. The days are nights and the nights are long, beating hearts blossom into walking bombs. And those still looking in the clear blue sky for a sign get missiles from so high they might as well be divine. And now the dogs are howling at your door, singing about vengeance like it's the joy of the Lord, bringing justice to the enemies, not the other way around. They're guilty where killed and they're killed where they're found. If what's loosed on earth will be loosed up on high, it's a hell of a heaven we must go to when we die. Where even Laurel begs Hardy for vengeance, please. The fat man's crying on his hands and his knees. Back in the peacetime, he caught roses on the stage. Now a twisting decision takes bourbon for rage. Let pellets pepper and aluminum, halcyon, laudanum, and opium. Sings kiss the Hardy, this poison cup. His wine and sheet is busy winding up. And dark as he looks for the lights that have died, you need faith for the same reasons that it's so hard to find. And this whole thing is headed for a terrible wreck, and like a tragedy, that's what we expect.
Josh Ritter's Thin Blue Flame from his latest The Animal Years, easily the most complex moment on the album. It's a 9.5-minute opus, and it represents kind of a movement away from regular narrative structure on the new album. However, there's also a handful of songs on the new one that showed he's improved with his narrative structure as well. One of those, the Sorry Song, Lily in Egypt. I asked him if there was some kind of personal story behind that tune.
It's just an idea, actually. I think I really like those silent films, and there's a lot of silent film stuff I was thinking about for the record, and I always liked those Lillian Gish silent films.
Right,
she is an amazing person to watch on film, and you know, and she had her time before, you know, really kind of before the talkies came.
Right,
and, like,
right.
And I really liked her. I mean, she would be the one for me if I was if I was around in the 20s.
The video really captures it too.
Yeah, you know, thanks.
That
yeah.
Early, and you got your starring role in the silent film.
Yeah, right? Finally.
Your
yeah,
debut,
I've been auditioning for years. Yeah.
I remember back in Illinois, I found her, the lily of the valley. The lily of the west was a rose, the daughter of the biggest big town banker. He kept her like a princess, I stole her like the Fort Knox gold. She used to pour four roses like it's going down the chimney. The bottle was on fire, star of the silent
she was tied to the train tracks. I was up there with the extras, riding on a Tyrone. The villain on the left with the studio mustache, winking at Lillian, blowing kisses from the second row.
So it seems like you tour a lot. You've got dates scheduled for a few months out now.
Yeah.
You plan on slowing down with that? Or you pretty much been doing it?
Well, eventually I'm going to have to slow down because I want to have an actual relationship and you know, all that stuff that people have. But for right now, I'm pretty until that thing comes up and slaps me in the face, I'm gonna hang out and keep on playing. I'm always going to tour. I know that.
And you just played your third show in Idaho today.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's more of those to come.
Yeah,
to.
For sure. Man. Okay. Yeah, totally. Man.
Well, Josh Ritter, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate
you
guys. Best of luck down the road.
Man. Yeah, totally. Thank you, guys.
Special thanks once again to Josh Ritter for taking time out and joining us for an interview. You can find more content featuring Ritter, including photos from Sunday's performance at Redfish Lake, on the website. It's at inhouseradio.blogspot.com. Additional thanks goes to Ryan Peck for making the interview possible, and technical assistance from Jamin Anderson, Dylan Anderson, and Sean Murdoch. We're back in house right after this. Back with new music from Mason Jennings from Bone Clouds. This is Jackson Square.
Dust cloud coming off an older road that leads up here to this little graveyard. Seven lights in a perfect row. Under each light is a police car. Just because you say it doesn't make it true. You can say that I'm guilty, man, I just don't care. You can burn my body black. Just don't make me go back to Jackson Square. Your little bare feet and your violin. I was walking by with my guitar in my hand. You smiled at me and I jumped right in. Before I knew it, you were all I knew. Every moment together was an answered prayer. After a while, we had some money saved up and we rented a room over Jackson Square. Changed, your eyes got strange, you didn't seem yourself. You go to tell a story and you'd start out fine. Halfway through it, you'd be somewhere else. And I started having the strangest dream. I held a string and looked up in the air. And you were glowing with the strangest light, drifting out of sight over Jackson Square. Bye. you can't control. When you try to hold on to it, it makes you let go. Things are not like they were before. I can hear her crying through the bathroom door. She says she hears spirits all around the room, and they're telling her things that make her feel scared. I have no idea what to do. We're both in over our heads on Jackson Square. Chest. People were screaming on the street below. I reached for you, I was alone in the bed. Wind was blowing through an open window. And suddenly I was very old, in a little boat, absolutely nowhere. Staring at the side of the universe, and your tiny body down on Jackson Square. And don't tell me that there ain't no end. The damn well is, and it waits in the wings. I see you kneeling at center stage, in your tiny cage made of angel wings. While I'm here every night, loading my gun and trying not to go there. Anyone who says that life is clear has never seen a mirror or been to Jackson Square.
It's not
Whitmore, One Man's Shame, from Song of the Blackbird, closing us out today. This album is due out next Tuesday. Also new music from Him, the band with Not California, the song from Funnel Cloud that's upcoming from Him. That'll be released in September. That's going to close out another edition of In House. Underwriting support for the show, of course, comes from Port Neuf Valley Brewing in Pocatello. injecting new life into Pocatello's historic warehouse district. Find them online as well at PortnoffValleyBrewing.com or at 615 South First Avenue right here in town. The show's an independent production produced at the studios of KISU. My name is Jeremy Peterson. Join me same time, same house tomorrow. Cracker and Camper Van Beethoven playing a free show in Salt Lake City tomorrow evening. We'll hear music from those bands, among other things, on the show. Stay tuned next for The World.